ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय From Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 19, chapter entitled The Lord, chapter entitled The Lord Begs Charity from Bali Maharaj, text number 17. Nanyat te kamaye rajan. Nanyat te kamaye rajan. Vadanya jagadishvara. Vadanya jagadishvara. Nainak prapnoti vai vidvai. Nainak prapnoti vai vidvai. Yavad artha pratigraha. Yavad artha pratigraha. Translation. O King, controller of the entire universe, although you are very munificent and are able to give me as much land as I want, I do not want anything from you that is unnecessary. If a learned Brahmin takes charity from others only according to his needs, he does not become entangled in sinful activities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A Brahmin or sannyasi is qualified to ask charity from others, but if he takes more than necessary, he is punishable. No one can use more of the Supreme Lord's property than necessary. Lord Vamanadeva indirectly indicated to Bali Maharaj that he was occupying more land than he needed. In the material world, all distresses are due to extravagance. One acquires money extravagantly and also spends it extravagantly. Such activities are sinful. All property belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all living beings who are sons of the Supreme Lord have the right to use the Supreme Father's property, but one cannot take more than necessary. This principle should especially be followed by brahmanas and sannyasis who live at the cost of others. Thus, Vamanadeva was an ideal beggar, for he asked only 3 paces of land. Of course, there is a difference between his footsteps and those of an ordinary human being. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his inconceivable prowess, can occupy the entire universe, including the upper, lower, and middle planetary systems, by the unlimited measurement of his footsteps.
My great pleasure this morning to introduce His Grace Bhaktarup Prabhu. Bhaktarup Prabhu is a senior disciple of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He serves in Bhuvaneshwar. He's been staying for many years in Bhuvaneshwar and doing his service in the background, assisting the GBC, and he's also assisting as far as I know, he's also part of the board of examinations and so many other activities, and he's here today with us and has kindly consented to give the Srimad Bhagavatam class. Let us welcome His Grace Bhaktarup Prabhu to Shishi Radha Gopinath Temple in a traditional style by loudly chanting. Also, Bhaktarup Prabhu is here with Her Grace Champaklata Mataji. She is the director of the Child Protection Office of ISKCON. Let us also welcome Champaklata Mataji to Shri Radha Gopinath Temple in a traditional style by loudly chanting.
Nanyat te kamaye rajan vadanya jagadishvarat nainak prapnoti vai vidvan yavad arta pratigraha. O King, controller of the entire universe, although you are very munificent and are able to give me as much land as I want, I do not want anything from you that is unnecessary. If a learned Brahmin takes charity from others only according to his needs, he does not become entangled in sinful activities. Today, to have the opportunity to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of pure devotees of the Lord. This is describing a conversation between Lord Vamanadev and Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj was the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, and he was the king of the entire universe, planet, and he was he's a very great pious soul. But he was according to his ancestry, his great grandfather was Hiranyakashipu, and so he was the king on behalf of the Daityas. So here, Lord. The demigods were in distress because the demons were in charge of the universe. So many stories are there that you've already heard. So the demigods are in distress, and they, in order to favor them, Lord Vishnu appeared as their brother, as the as their younger brother, the son of Aditi, and he made a plan how the demigods could again take charge of universal affairs. So Vamanadev, he appeared just like a dwarf, like a very short person. And a Brahmin, and a learned Brahmin. And he was very, very, very beautiful. So he appeared before Bali Maharaj, and just as so many Brahmins were coming to beg from the king, so Vamanadev also came in a very pleasing manner before the king, and he came to beg some charity. So he's asking him whatever. Bali Maharaj was so pleased that he said, just whatever you like, I'm prepared to give it to you. So now, Vamanadev, he's introducing this is his request. This is an introductory verse to his request. In the previous verse, it said, O King of the Daityas, from your majesty who come from such a noble family and who are able to give charity munificently, I ask only 3 paces of land to the measurement of my steps. So this is his request. And then, in case Bali Maharaj was might be surprised at such an insignificant request. Here he's explaining that, O King, O controller of the entire universe, although you are very munificent and are able to give me as much land as I want, I do not want anything from you that is unnecessary. If a learned Brahmin takes charity from others only according to his needs, he does not become entangled in sinful activities. So this is a very, in the purpose of, when Lord Vishnu appears, he accomplishes many, many, many purposes. Puritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaturskritam dharma sangsthapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So these are different purposes. He comes to give pleasure to the devotees, he comes to annihilate the miscreants, and he comes to establish religious principles. So we can see all three of these aspects in this statement, in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. That he's giving pleasure to the devotees because the demigods, they're behind the scenes. They're in hiding, watching. What is... the Lord has come. Their Lord Vishnu, their great worshipable Lord, has come and in a special costume. And he's enacting some drama. And for sure, he's going to be successful and we're going to come out victorious. So he's giving great pleasure to the devotees here. And he's just about to severely chastise Bali Maharaj. Of course, he's not actually annihilating him, but he's taking away all the opulences of the demons. And he's establishing religious principles, especially in this verse, by preaching, setting the example for how a Brahmin should beg charity. That he should only take as much as necessary and not take more. So he's saying, I'm just a small person. I only need a little bit of land and then I'll be quite satisfied. I can everything will be fine at that point. So and we're about to hear Bali Maharaj's reply, where Bali Maharaj says, this Brahmin is not very intelligent. He's come to the king, but he's just asking for 3 paces of land, just like the similar idea when Dhruva Maharaj was refused, was not allowed to sit on the lap of his father by his mother's co-wife. He became very much in anxiety and he wanted a whole kingdom. He wanted a kingdom even greater than his father, and his father was the king of the whole universe. He wanted a greater kingdom even than that. So, under his mother's instructions, he went and he worshipped Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu came and appeared before him in a very beautiful form, Chaturbhuj form. And Dhruva Maharaj, he was so pleased by seeing this beautiful form of Lord Vishnu. He was so happy and so ecstatic. And he thought, this is the greatest gift. Just darshan, just being able to see you standing before me, is greater than any possible gift that one could imagine. And he said his previous idea of be having kingdom greater than his father, he's just considering that to be like broken pieces of glass that he was begging for. But instead he got rare gem of the darshan of Lord Vishnu. So one should not, if one approaches a, you're not going to go to Mr. Birla and ask for 100 rupees, right? He will be insulted because he can do so much to push on the Krishna consciousness movement. So similarly, Vamadeva is appearing like just a foolish Brahmin that doesn't know what is how to take proper advantage of his beauty and his having access to the king of the universe. So he's just begging three steps of land. This is all just wonderful. And then meanwhile, the demigods are watching and hiding. This is such a wonderful drama. Vamanadeva is about to is showing here. So he's establishing the basic religious principle here that a Brahmin should not take more charity than necessary. It's described that if a Brahmin happens to receive charity more than required, more than he needs, then he should distribute the excess to others, other qualified Brahmins. That's Margari. Yeah, the story of Margari, the hunter, from Chaitanya Charitamrita. You know the story of Margari, the hunter? No? Margari, what does Margari mean? Mruga? Mruga means animal, right? And Ari means enemy. So Margari was the enemy of the animals. He used to go into the... I told you it was dangerous to sit there. Margari, he would go to the... jungle and he would just half kill animals. He would live by killing animals, and he would kill extra, he would shoot extra animals, and they would just be left half dead, and he would just think that was great pleasure. That was great fun, just to see animals half dying, leaving them like that to die in the forest. And so he was living like this. And then Narada Muni was passing by, and Narada Muni saw that this person, this hunter, he's doing this, living in this horrible, horrible life. And he's saying, so why are you living like this? He says, this is what my father taught me. I'm living according to the way of life that my father has taught. So Narada Muni said, don't you know what's going to happen to you in the future? For all these, every one of these animals that you're leaving half dead, you're going to have to take birth and die like them. So many thousands and millions of births you're going to have to take and suffer like those animals. And Margari was a little fortunate. He had a little sukriti, so he appreciated the words of the sadhu of Narada Muni. And he said, oh, this is going to happen to me. So, but if I give up my hunting profession, how will I live? And Narada Muni said, don't care. Don't worry, I'll take care. So he said, you just build a cottage next to the river, and you and your wife stay there, and you plant tulsi. And every day you worship a tulsi plant. And don't worry about your maintenance. So the nearby village people, they heard, oh, Margari has become a devotee. This is a very wonderful thing. He's given up his hunting and he's just worshiping tulsi, sitting by the bank of the holy river. Oh, we have to go see. So they would go to see, and they would naturally bring gifts. So they would bring gifts, and then the word spread. And every day, so much, everything that he needed was being brought by the villagers and giving to him as a devotee. And then, after some time, Narada Muni was traveling in the universe and he met his friend Parvat Muni. And they were discussing things. And Narada Muni was saying, I have this disciple, Margari. Let's go see. So Narada Muni and Parvat Muni, they went to see Margari. And they were walking on the path toward the bank of the river. And Margari could see them coming from a distance. And he immediately ran out of his house to greet his guru. And he was about to pay full dandavats to his guru. And he noticed there were some ants crawling on the path. So he took off his upper cloth and he was sweeping the ants away so he wouldn't hurt them. Then he paid full dandavats. Parvat Muni saw. Says, Acha? Such a devotee. He's so careful not to. He doesn't want to hurt anyone. He's not even cleaning the ants from the pathway. Said, "This is you have a very wonderful disciple." He said. So Margari received his two exalted guests very nicely. And then after they were comfortably situated and worshipped properly, then Narada Muni asked, so is everything okay? Margari said, yes, everything is wonderful. I just have one thing to ask. Don't send so much. It's too much. You're sending too many things. Please don't send so much. So the same principle, that a Brahmin should not be greedy, should not accept more. So, also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a very wonderful verse. Krishna Tulya Bhagavat Vibhu Sarveshrai Prati Shloke Prati Akshare Nana Artha Koi. That Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Tulya Bhagavat, Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. In Kali Yuga, there's different manifestations of Krishna. Who can say what are the manifestations of Krishna in Kali Yuga? Who knows? How Krishna appears in Kali Yuga? Ganga, huh? Another? Yes. The holy name, yes. And? Not exactly. Bhagavat. Bhagavad Gita has some, is not exclusively dealing with bhakti. It's not described as an incarnation of the Lord. It's the message of the Lord, but Bhagavatam is special, and it's described to be directly the incarnation of the Lord. And one more. The Diti. So these manifestations of Krishna are there in Kali Yuga. And it says, Prati Shloke, Prati Akshare, Nana Artha Koi. So in every shloka, Prati Shloka, not just every shloka, Prati Akshare, in every syllable, there's many meanings are there. So Srila Prabhupada is bringing out some extra meaning here in the purport. Extra meaning. Because the verse here is talking about how a Brahmin is allowed to beg according to his need, to possess according to his need. But here it's saying all Prabhupada's further clarifying, all property belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all living beings who are sons of the Supreme Lord have the right to use the Supreme Father's property, but one cannot take more than necessary. So it's not just that one has a quota. Isha vasham idam sarvam yat kincha. Not just that that one has a quota. Actually, we don't have any quota at all. Everything belongs to Krishna. Everything is his quota. But he allows us to have some portion for our use. And if we just take according to our portion and live a life free from sin, free from overaccumulation, free from too much greed, if we live a life like that, then we will continue to reside very peacefully and happily in the material world. If we avoid sinful activities, and we just take according to our, if we're engaged in brahminical activities, we can beg for our maintenance. And if we take that money and we maintain ourselves very nicely, then we can live very happily in the material world. But if we understand that property is actually, even though it's in our possession, it actually belongs to the Supreme Lord, then this becomes bhakti. And we can become liberated from this material world. So we have the right to use the Supreme Father's property. Whether we know it's his property or not, we have the right to use his property up to a certain degree. If we don't know that it's his property, then at least we're avoiding sinful activity. But if we know that it's his property and we use it in his service, then this is devotional service. And by performing such devotional service, we become qualified to go back home, back to Godhead, to leave this material world entirely. So, and if one understand, and just like someone does not understand that everything is the Supreme Lord's property, like Bali Maharaj was exhibiting here, even though he's a great Mahajan, he's giving the example of someone who's over accumulated. Prabhupada saying, Lord Vamadeva indirectly indicated to Bali Maharaj that he was occupying more land than he needed. So that's not directly mentioned in what Vamadeva is saying. But Srila Prabhupada is pulling out this additional meaning. That by saying these things, he's actually preaching to Bali Maharaj that you have accumulated more than your quota. And you're not using it properly. So therefore, I'm going to take it away. I'm going to take it away from you. So if one does not understand the Supreme Lord's property and uses it extravagantly, then one becomes degraded and falls into a hellish condition in life. But if one understands that everything belongs to Krishna, then he can accumulate unlimitedly for Krishna. He can accumulate unlimitedly for Krishna and use it in Krishna's service. So we don't have any difficulty in acquiring such a big palatial building for worshiping the Supreme Lord. Even though ordinarily big palatial buildings have a tendency to cause one to forget Krishna. We're using this big palatial building in Krishna's service, so therefore we're free from any sinful reaction. And actually, we're increasing our service to Krishna by accumulating more and more assets for his service. So, thank you very much for your kind attention. I see that the time is expiring. Are there time for questions? Huh? Anyway, we can take 15 minutes for questions. Any questions? Comments from the learned Vaishnavas?
Prabhu, we also read in Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami.
My hearing is not so good, so please speak slowly and clearly.
We also hear in Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami, he says about, mentions about construction of big palatial buildings, that we should not engage so much in constructing huge palatial buildings, and some instructions like that. So what is your take on that? In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami mentions that we should not construct huge buildings or not engage in constructing huge buildings. So you just mentioned that. So how do we reconcile with that, with what Rupa Goswami mentions in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and ISKCON having...
Does he say that we should not construct palatial buildings for Krishna?
As far as possible, I mean, what I understood was that such construction activities would divert you away from engaging in more direct activities.
There's we have to engage in devotional service according to the instructions of our spiritual master. If someone is doesn't have the qualification to deal with the material energy, then he shouldn't, you know, he should not be engaged in that way of managing big palatial buildings. But if someone is deemed by the spiritual master to have qualification to preach, then preaching in this age requires material facility. This is the nature of Kali Yuga, that no one respects a poor man. So, even though it's dangerous to have so much material facilities, we take the risk. Srila Prabhupada has taken the risk. Actually, this tradition started from Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, of having organized preaching. So in order to have organized preaching, in order to attract people, we have to have some opulence. And it's understood, I'm sure, that our predecessor acharyas, I'm sure they understood that in the course of accumulating, having organization and accumulating so many things, having so much pratishtha, that some devotees will become bewildered and fall down. It is natural. It is to be expected. But this is a risk that's necessary for preaching. If it wasn't for, I know, there's no way I would have come in association with devotees if it wasn't for the facilities that the devotees created for Krishna's service. And who would be there if it was just Srila Prabhupada chanted in Tompkins Square Park, and then when the chanting was over, everyone went to their home, and then, okay, we'll see you again tomorrow. And anyone wants, and just like sometimes the Mayavadis, someone comes to them, they make it a big point, try to put money in the hand of the big Mayavadi preachers. They say, no, I don't touch money. And probably gave, you know, compared that to the Vaishnava, says, yes, yes, take the money and use it in Krishna's service. So, yeah, there's definitely a danger, definitely a risk, definitely a danger. But it's a risk that our acharyas had to take for preaching in this age. And we may see that, oh, so many people have become bewildered. So many devotees have joined. They've done wonderful service for a while, but then they become bewildered by all the opulence and the pratishta, and they've gone away. And it's unfortunate that they've gone away, but would they have come in the first place if it wasn't for all the wonderful arrangements for the preaching mission? Would they have come in the first place? Would anyone have come in the first place? Just like the, I don't know if this is an appropriate example, I haven't thought about it before, but it seems like it may be appropriate. Just like someone has a certain kinds of disease in the stomach where they can't hold any food. Whatever they take, they'll immediately lose it. Okay? So they're becoming weak because they can't digest any food. So they go to the qualified doctor, and the doctor tells them, you eat ghee. So, but I eat ghee, I also lose immediately, I can't even keep the ghee down. So he said, that's okay. You take the ghee, but something, you may lose, but something will stick. Something will stick, and that will give you strength, and eventually you'll be able to eat normal food. So many people may have joined, so many people may lose, may leave, but some will stay. Some will stay, and the movement will grow in that way, and preaching will go on in that way. So, of course, it's very sad when someone leaves, but we also have to understand that whatever service they've done is not forgotten. Devotional service is never lost. One may fall down and not have association with devotees at all for this birth or many births, but eventually that devotional service that they performed will become, you know, the fruits will come on the tree, and they will again take up the process of Krishna consciousness. So we have propensity to manage. Some of us have propensity to manage. Some of us will not chant Hare Krishna unless we get lots of prestige, pratishta. If some people don't honor us, then we become discouraged and give up the chanting. That's also there. So it's also, the big palatial building is also for us. Not only, it's also for preaching to us. That yes, see, all the things you get are associated with Hare Krishna. So chant Hare Krishna. So we have to understand in this way. But if the tradition of our sampradaya is Rupa and Sanatana Goswami living under a different tree every night in Vrindavan. We should never forget that. That's also our tradition. We're coming from that culture. So we should not become attached.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, can you share some of your interactions with Srila Prabhupada?
Not sitting on the Vyasa San. This is the Bhagavatam. I have no understanding of Srila Prabhupada. So we sit here. We speak about Srila. We speak about Bhagavatam. That's what this seat is for. Only. Okay.
I will translate his question. He says he's asking that all these incidents, pastime of Bali Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj that has been held. So it is in this universe or in any other universe?
This universe or another universe?
Yeah.
Not sure. I don't have any authoritative reference for whether it's this universe or another universe. But these pastimes are going on in every universe according to regular... So it could have been this universe, it could have been another universe. Could have been. By the way, speaking of this pastime, you were in a few verses ago, there was a description about Hiranyakashipu going to Vaikuntha, right? Do you all understand now how Hiranyakashipu could go to Vaikuntha to look for Lord Vishnu? You studied the verses. How is it that Hiranyakashipu could go to Vaikuntha and find that Lord Vishnu is not there and declare that Vishnu is dead? How is it possible? Can a sinful person go to Vaikuntha? No one knows. This is Prapanchika Vaikuntha. This is a Prapanchaka Vaikuntha. Within the material world, there's also a Vaikuntha planet. And there's many stories about devotees going to Vaikuntha and then falling down again. It's described that you can, if you offer a ghee lamp to Vishnu, then you go to Vaikuntha, whatever. But it's also described that people have gone there and they've come back again and had to take birth again. So that's the application is the Prapanchika Vaikuntha within this material universe. It's different from the Vaikuntha beyond the Vidaja. Different. That's why so just in case anyone had any doubt as to how Hiranyakashipu could go to Vaikuntha. Prapanchika Vaikuntha. Any other question? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.